Now on today's program, is this the final of these now defunct Patreon selects?
Yes, they are. This is the last one.
Well, thank goodness. It's Samurai Cop on We Hate Movies. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this week, like I said up top, it's a Patreon selected episode.
And I do want to specify, you said the now defunct Patreon, and I don't want anyone to get that idea. We just took away a tier that we
panic in we Eric's had, eyes. Oh my, right now. Holy
please,
sweet
please,
mother.
Please do not take a Patreon away from me. Patreon.com/We Hate Movies, where there's now, I've counted, Chris, counted the beans.
Oh, all of them?
Yep. There's over 24 hours of bonus content available to unlock right now.
That is a lot of fat guy voice. Mm-hmm. A whole fucking tonnage.
Right, but we at one point had a tier where you could sponsor an episode, you kind of curate it, and it just got too confusing because there was too many of them, so we've eliminated that tier, but there's an embarrassment of riches on there otherwise.
We couldn't have done it because then we wouldn't have been able to program anything
because we like to do that,
but we had to do this one, I guess.
So who was this person that rewarded us with this selection?
This was Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
It's been
so long, Kevin might have passed on. I mean, I don't know. I'm being completely honest.
Hopefully not, because, you know, since this is an episode Kevin sponsored, this goes directly to his phone and no one else's.
Yep.
And if you are listening to this right now, it is an illegal leak.
Contact the FBI, the IRS, all of them.
Yep. Well, shit, man. I mean, if that's the case, I hope Kevin is, like, around L.A., because what the fuck do we do that plug for?
Oh, shit.
Don't know.
Kevin, are you coming?
Kevin? Hey, Kevin, you there? Kev?
Oh, no, we left Kevin at home.
Kevin! Samurai Cop from 1991, directed by Amir Shervan. He was a successful filmmaker in Iran, and then he tried to make it in Hollywood and just made a bunch of movies like this.
It's dated 1991. This is 1978.
Oh, my God. I mean,
in the look and feel of everything, 1978.
There is nothing about this movie that says to me George Herbert Walker Bush was in office at the time of production.
I mean, I don't know. It looks like Reservoir Dogs could be taking place up the street, right?
That's kind of true.
Mm-hmm. You think
Are
so?
You nuts?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, like, who knows? It's just porny.
There's a samurai cop, and Tim Roth was what?
He was an undercover samurai.
Oh,
he was
right.
A ronin, yeah. one of those ronins. Oh,
listen to me, Marvin Nash. I'm a samurai cop. Don't pussy out on me now. Give me my katana sword. Fuck you, I'm wearing a wig. Fuck you.
Oh, excuse me. Are you a ninja? Are you a ninja? Then how do you know a ninja star is going to kill you?
I'm sorry.
What I was going to say before you started screaming like a lunatic is that you said that it's very porny. And one of the things I love about this movie is that hardcore fucking could start at any second on this movie. It's amazing.
It was ill-advised to actually make a movie here. You should have made a porn. It would have been a lot more. I think you got a lot more coverage. People would have come to see it.
Dude, lesson learned, man. We should have made a porno. I mean,
dude,
you know what?
Could you imagine Zadar in a porno?
It's
star power.
It's just about there. I mean, Zadar, Robert Zadar himself, with a ponytail, by the way, playing a Japanese guy.
Was he really?
He definitely is playing a Japanese guy.
His name is Yamashito, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cute nickname.
That's what I thought, too. I thought, like, maybe he went to Japan and he got that name.
No. There's no quotes on the IMDb page.
It's not Jimmy Yamashito, like, Johnson.
What was this dude's name? Joe? Samurai quotes Marshall, right?
Yes.
So, Joe Marshall, Jim Marshall's younger brother.
So that's a nickname.
President Jim Marshall's younger brother.
Samurai is a nickname. It's not an honor.
Yeah, they're like, oh, they call you Samurai. But Robert Zadar, no, he's playing a Japanese person.
You know,
but what I was saying was, when you get to Robert Zadar's sex scene, I mean, you see a woman's vagina. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not really? Just it's not just like what you would like qualify as full frontal nudity.
Please paint a picture for the folks at home, Georgia O'Keeffe.
Well, you just did. That it just you see this right, woman's
we
vagina.
We open on the Southwest.
that is that a flower?
This is a first brush stroke. Mm-hmm. Here's the second brush stroke.
And now the audience is stroking?
No one stroked it to this movie.
Oh, man. Yes, somebody they did. No, man. Everybody yes, they did.
Some 13-year-old kid, definitely. Oh,
and this was direct to video, right? Mm-hmm. So VHS, and you take it home, right? You wear out certain parts.
Well, possibly this part that I'm trying to talk about. Robert Zidar's hot sex scene in this movie. You just see a woman's vagina, and you're like, well, I thought I was watching Samurai Cop.
Hot? Robert Zidar, hot.
The beard that he has is covering up his fucked up face in this
movie.
I
actually think he looks pretty good in this.
I agree. This is
he's
a good
very
look.
Thin, too.
This is a good look for Robert Zidar. Yeah. He actually has a good ponytail. We were talking about ponytails on It. This is the ponytail I was talking about. A nice, thin, well-curated ponytail. Mm-hmm. It's if I had to have a ponytail, it would be this.
You do. That's okay. Going to be a new Patreon tier.
Two interesting factoids about this movie. One, every single shot was only done in one take for the most part. Yep. Two, the entire movie takes place during the day because they couldn't afford artificial lighting equipment. Fan-fucking-tastic.
Porn. Just shoot a porn. You don't need lighting. Need a house.
Pornos have fake lights in them, man.
That's a good point.
How do you think all those boobs and schlongs look so good? Artificial lighting.
Wait, I think what he's doing is like that movie, the Terrence Malick, John Smith, Pocahontas movie. What was that
New
called?
World?
The New World. Natural lighting, right? Like nothing but natural lighting. Like
Barry Lyndon.
Yeah, he's pulling a Barry Lyndon.
Yes, exactly.
Do you think if you... Well, he's long dead, but this director...
Kubrick?
Amir Sherbin. Well, Kubrick's also long dead. But if you think you ask this dude, you
They're
know,
playing
like
chess and hell,
big time. Mm-hmm. Like, hey man, you know who were your influences while making Samurai Cop? Yeah. You think you'd be like, well, Kubrick's Barry Lyndon, of course. What with the natural lighting
and porn, lots of porn.
Seven Samurai.
This is the closest to The Room we have ever and ever will get. I feel because of the sleazy porn atmosphere, the fact that every line is hilarious. It's a riot. Like you could just you could do a minute by minute of Samurai Cop. You shouldn't, could do a minute.
You know
by
what?
Minute.
People thinking about starting their own podcast, don't do that.
Do something else.
The world doesn't need a minute by minute Samurai Cop podcast.
But you could because there's literally every line is funny.
So it's a recommend up front. I would say, like people, if you're interested, you could pause this and check it out.
Yeah, I would say
it's a total recommend. It's without question. This is WLM.
First time I've seen this.
Well, so thanks, Kevin. This is a great episode. I'll see you guys. No, we'll do a whole thing. So we start...
We'll do a whole thing.
We start with a shot of Okamura, who is an actual Japanese man. He's like a stunt man. That's the guy with the cool beard.
Right.
Kind of looks like a Japanese Bam Bam Bigelow.
Did you see that in the Tribune? Mm. He supplied all the weapons for this...
You know,
brought him from home.
Somebody was going to bring him from home, man. You're not renting them from some weapons licensor.
It's either Jerry or a bunch of cinder blocks. Honestly,
his name was Jerry. Gerald Okamura. Yeah. Go to Jerry's. Ooh. Jerry's got all the weapons, man.
Yeah, we're gonna cast this guy not for his acting ability, but his weapon collection.
He was in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yep.
Bunch of other stuff.
He's been in a bunch.
Well, John Carpenter rented weapons.
Hot Shots Part 2.
You think Jerry was like, you know, man, hey, John, I got, you know, don't worry, Gerald. You focus on your performance and your performance alone.
I'll bring them from my home.
But I can get, I got the keys to my storage space.
Gerald, read the script again.
Just load up that van.
Think about what your character is feeling when he turns into a dog.
He's feeling like he wants to bring his fucking swords from home.
You're going to be on the same stage as Mr. Kurt Russell. So would you please?
We open up. We basically find out that there's a gang war between a Chinese gang and the Katana gang.
You were already paying way more attention to this movie than I was.
Well, because they go. So it's like, all right, we're going to absorb this Chinese gang. But if not, we'll kill them. And here's the thing, when you're a gang and a gang offers to absorb you and you don't want to be absorbed,
right?
Don't bring everyone don't go to the meeting at all. Like, just be like, that's a phone call, like, nope. click.
Yeah, thanks anyway.
Not just to like, I want to show up and shake hands and hope we all work. And,
you're going to politely turn down a hostile takeover.
Also, maybe a restaurant. Yeah, somewhere where like nice. Violent act might be reported.
Mm-hmm. And also we're a little hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. So, everybody looks a little hungry in this. Probably no craft services.
Oh, no. No. Someone ran out to Burger King at the end of the day. It's like, if you want the Burger King, stick around after we're done shooting, or you can go home and eat yourself.
And the actors have to eat from this trough.
Yeah, so they this is our first action scene, and it's Robert Zadar, this red-haired lady who's like played up as a heavy but doesn't do anything ever.
Yeah, she has one name.
What's her name?
Oh, it's like Christine or something. The actress herself went by one name.
Oh, really?
Cameron.
Cameron, yeah, there you go. She was on TNG. Mm. Several episodes as some like engineering ensign, and she also was Gates McFadden's stand-in.
Gates, are you going to go to Cameron's movie opening, Samurai Cop? I don't know. Can we just skip it? Okay to skip it?
Have a little fucking tact and don't invite the entire crew to your stupid movie premiere. Samurai Cop. What is that? I mean, I'm sorry. Brent, can you tell me what a fucking Samurai Cop is? Jonathan? Michael? LeVar? Anyone tell me what a fucking Samurai Cop is?
Oh, I'm definitely not going to that.
Oh, Dorn skipped it, man.
Nah, I got better things to do. They got a theater near me is playing Batman again.
You know what? Go get Wheaton. Go tell Wheaton to go.
You tell him there's boobies in it. He'll love it.
She can hear you.
He's standing right behind
him. He's crying by the door. It's just swooping so you can't hear it.
It's just Patrick Stewart going on this diatribe at the fucking Paramount Commissary.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing about that stupid idiot. She can't act to save her life. And be in a movie, Samurai.
Do you believe it? They're out of chicken salad again.
Well, I believe that stand-ins shouldn't be allowed near the regular actors, Patrick.
And Sir Patrick, do you dawn?
I bet this happened.
I bet exactly this
I happened. I think so. This sounds true to life.
Or was it a thing where like she was keeping it secret and somebody found out about it and then like it spread around the set of TNG?
Yeah. Or like little giggles and like someone rented it and it was just like, can you believe it?
Well, look at Cameron. She's completely naked in this movie for no... Oh, there's her vagina. It's just terribly awful.
So we cut to Joe Marshall and Frank something.
Frank Washington.
Frank Washington, who's an African-American cop, which is something you need to say because that's all that's going on.
Oh, boy. All the references to this dude's huge cock. It's awesome. Jesus. It's like whatever fucking numbskull wrote this movie. It's like, what could we give this character? Well, a huge dick.
A suit? Yeah, I think maybe a suit.
A suit to house his huge dick.
So I think he is like... there's this
old
like,
friends, I believe, is what
they're
you're...
like. Yeah, they're old friends. He's like bringing his buddy in because he's the only one that can understand the Katana
right,
gang.
Because Joe Marshall is
San Diego.
Whenever, yeah, San Diego. He was on the San Diego PD. But whenever I say his name, I think of Frank Marshall. Anyway.
Hey, we gotta catch this samurai cop already.
I keep on thinking of Air Force One, President Jim Marshall, and
that's
his
right,
younger
President
brother.
Punch.
Mm-hmm.
Get off my katana.
So Frank Washington brings Joe Samurai Marshall to L.A. to help with this gang situation, and also. It's the warring factions of the gang, but I think as far as the police are concerned, this is a coke thing.
Yeah, it's a drug problem. Like there's right. drugs on our streets, we need to get them off.
Yeah.
I think the problem is this police department is far too horny to get any work done.
That's oh true. My God, well, yeah. This is out and again, outside of a cop porno, this is the horniest police department in cinema. And I'm looking at you, Police Academy franchise.
So there's like some boat and we're trying to, you know, intercept this guy.
Mm-hmm. There's coke on the boat.
There's coke on the boat.
There's coke on the boat.
Our coke. And he, there's a helicopter. It's kind of, helicopters don't work this way. This lady helicopter.
It goes underwater.
A lady helicopter.
What is it? It's got a little bow on top of the propellers.
No. Did Pixar make this?
No, it's a lady helicopter.
Okay, wait, who voices the helicopter?
Roseanne.
I'm gonna catch you.
And then this go. It goes.
And then it eats all the Chinese food, or whatever happens in that opening credit scene.
Well, it depends upon what season you're watching. Sometimes you're eating pizza. Sometimes it's Chinese food. Sometimes we're playing poker, and you know what? Roseanne wins all the chips.
No, it's a lady helicopter pilot,
right?
And she's landing the plane, and
landing
the helicopter, and Joe's
which is
like,
"Not a plane."
Joe calls her, and he's like, "We need you." And she's like, "I'm landing." Okay, I guess I'll. It's not like you're pulling into your driveway and you just pull out. Like you need to refuel. It takes. I imagine it takes. If you're a helicopter pilot, mail it into the We All Hate Movies @gmail.com.
Yeah.
I want to hear your helicopter stories.
Let us know your helicopter's gender.
So it's a kind of a chase thing, right?
It's sort of a chase thing. Yeah, what the hell? You can call it a chase thing.
I'll call it. I mean, they're going after this blue van.
Which I think the coke went from the boat into the van.
It did.
Right, yeah.
Now the coke's in the van. Right.
And I think what the helicopter's deal is, like, she's just keeping an eye on things. Uh-huh. You know, keeping it in view as they're trying to, like, chase this van.
And, like, kind of dirty talking with Joe to get him worked up for later.
I mean, you know what you want to, like, say to somebody right when they're about to, like, start a huge dangerous car chase mission is, like, a bunch of shit to get them really horny and distracted.
Well, she says something like, keep it up. And he's like, oh, it'll stay up. You just keep it warm.
And what's ridiculous, though, is, like, this dude has just blown into town. Yeah. How are you this confident that you're going to fuck this person?
Have you seen this dude? He's doing all right.
Seriously. Have you seen this guy?
Yeah, I saw the movie.
He's got long hair.
He's turning onto Wilmore Avenue. I've got him in my sights. Also, I'm not wearing underwear.
I mean, yeah, this dude is very handsome. I think this is kind of like the only movie he's done. This and the sequel that happened 25 years later.
Did anyone see that?
It does feature Tommy Wiseau.
I was going to say, speaking of The Room. So we're driving down the highway, and this is one of the best things that happens in this movie is like, it's the old, like, the back of the van opens and we're shooting. Mm-hmm. And this dude is, Marshall here. He's driving this car and he's just like, I gotta say, the acting in this movie, surprisingly, it's terrible.
Uh-huh.
But, like, the whole thing almost is ADR.
Yes.
And the ADR is even lazier than the acting. And this dude's, like, pretending he's in a high-speed chase, and it's like, shoot. Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot. Man, it's great. And speaking of pornos, I mean, here you go. This dude is all horned up. He's talking about shooting.
It's all between Burger King burps. So, like, what did you expect from this ADR
session?
This
is the second time the king has come up on this episode.
Somebody's hungry.
But, yeah, no, just, like, also, don't tell me to I know I have to shoot this guy. Like, that's, I'm a cop, too, man. I'm Frank Marshall.
You're supposed to indiscriminately shoot people.
Yeah.
That's what they tell you in the academy.
Yeah.
So they,
headshots
Washington.
Frank Washington,
and I believe
Joe Marshall. We should talk about the wig at this point. Because
there's a story behind the wig.
There's a wig?
No, you're kidding.
Who's
right?
wearing the wig?
Are you fucking serious?
A little bit.
Joe Marshall.
Samurai.
Really?
That's not what? Natural.
Dude. Really?
Every
it
other
looks
scene,
good.
Every other shot is.
Oh, is it falling off?
No, he shot half the movie and he thought he was done with natural long hair. And then he got a haircut, and then they put a lady's wig on him for reshoots.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is, but it's not like this part of the movie is this and that part of the movie is
was
not.
Was it a helicopter lady's wig?
But he thought, like, when he was like, oh, come back for reshoots, we'll put a wig on you.
Yeah.
He thought it was just going to be like a few, like, corrective scenes or whatever. And it was literally like another half of the movie.
But it was also, it was 7 months after the original shoot.
Well, of course it was.
So, like, come on.
Yeah.
But also, B, it's not like now these days they have that in your contract.
I think
you cannot do anything like that. This has to look the same for a couple of years.
Unless you're
probably.
Superman. Then you can grow a mustache and have it digitally removed. But
what a stupid
I'm more
thing.
Shocked that this movie had any reshoots at all.
Yeah, really? I mean, I guess it's just...
Because it's like trash, and it's like a one-take trash.
Well,
and
I guess then... maybe research is the wrong way to put it. They just like had to stop making the movie for
oh,
7 months.
Oh, you're right. Oh, bankruptcy happened, and then they started up again. Okay,
dude, yeah,
that
they
makes
filed
sense.
For bankruptcy, but then they just said they were done with the movie, and then when they started again after the bankruptcy
went
through, they were
like... They brought Tony Gilroy on
reshoots.
To start rewriting parts.
Well, dude, and it turned out like Ron Howard directed part of it after that. I mean, wow. It was crazy. Yeah,
oh, the Darth Vader scene. The Vader scene seems... Like
oh
much.
My God, Vader cop.
No, yep. Vader cop. I like that.
You got a RoboCop? Got a vampire cop? Got a samurai cop?
Yeah, like, I guess you could have a Vader cop, or at least like a Vader you know cop. A Darth cop.
But
I
then guess, you have an Emperor Vader pretty quickly then.
Emperor oh, totally.
Vader. From Cop Vader.
Oh shit! Is that like Vader with like a little emperor on his back or
a baby emperor?
Yeah, like a master blaster.
So, but yeah, this wig's bad. It looks even worse on the Amazon Prime Blu-ray rip that you get.
Oh,
you
boy.
Really just see it's just sitting on his head like a bird's nest.
It's I mean, and there's like fight scenes in this movie, and that thing's hanging on for dear life. Like it's really
and
bad.
I get the cult Blu-ray thing is blowing up right now. There was no reason to put this on Blu-ray.
No,
it's astounding. You know what's interesting though is like. This whole cult Blu-ray thing, and there's like companies, you know, like
Vinegar Syndrome,
Twilight Time, Synapse Films. Oh, Synapse Films did the Suspiria thing, which is great. But like a lot of these companies, it reminds me of the olden days where like literally anything came out on VHS.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting back to that. This is a great example.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, these good. Shitty movies should look as best as possible, man.
Hey, but that's the problem is you know they were like, oh, when we view it through this shitty camera, it looks like fine. But now that it's like Blu-ray quality, it looks like it's just...
And we're playing it mostly in porno theaters anyway, so...
Can I say one of my favorite parts about this movie? And,
please.
You know, some company out there that like puts out film soundtracks or some shit. The score in this movie is awesome and ultra 80s as all get out. Yeah. And I feel like if you can put Chopping Mall out on vinyl, which I own and listen to...
how often?
You know, kind of around Halloween time, I'll put it on. That's when I put on my Season of the Witch vinyl, which I also have. Sure. You can put the soundtrack to Samurai
Cop. I'm
on
sure somebody's working on that right now.
I mean, there's so many losers like me that would buy it.
Yeah, there are losers like you.
But back to this chase scene, one of the dudes gets shot out of the van, and it's awesome because Washington is like, look out. And then he's like, bump, bump. And then, like, I mean, I can't get over this ADR acting. It's like, oh, no, I ran over it. It's so fucking terrible.
Another guy gets caught on fire, and then they're like, oh, we should take care of that guy. We should take care of
him. Oh, that dude's awesome because the van bursts into flames.
Mm-hmm. The one thing is, like, how did Brandon Lee die on the set of The Crow and nobody died on the set of Samurai Cop? What are the odds on that?
Well, dude, you know, that's when you're like, when you think of things like, well, you know, Bill Paxton's dead, but Jared Fogle's still walking the earth. It's kind of like that.
By all reports, nobody died on the set of Samurai.
Maybe that's what caused that fucking 7 month vacation.
It's a cover up.
I'm getting a feeling one of them gets put, like, one the first guy who got set on fire gets pulled away, and, you know, God, this is so sick. God, this is so sick.
One of my favorite things to do while watching this movie and like taking, you know, loose notes for this episode is just writing down all the dialogue. And Washington, when this guy's on fire and they both jump out of the car, Washington just goes, do something, man. He's burning.
There's a lot. It's like repeated. It's like, he's burning. He's burning.
Get a blanket. Get a blanket.
Well, here's my question, Chris, and because I've never taken a screenwriting class or a course or anything like that. Because once we get to the police station, which is the next kind of movement of the film, there's a lot of hi and goodbye. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, oh, hello. Hi, Joe. Hi. Hi.
Hey.
Bye. Hi. Bye, Susan.
Hey, Samurai. Yeah.
Well, we're following around Joe Marshall, and you live through his experience. You get to see, like, he's
walking us through.
Right. We're not cutting to the
world.
Exactly. We're not cutting to the middle of that scene to get to the point.
Mm-hmm. We'll do that later.
We are living in those light wash jeans. It's beautiful.
You really, you do get to see him greet a lot of people.
And we see them all later, of course.
By the way,
this is what's great. Just the editing in this movie, man, it is so masterful because there's so many things just thrown in and it's a lot of blink and you miss it. But Steve's thinking, you know, it cuts from this car chase to the police station.
Oh, no.
Au contraire, there is a break here, because after they put out this burning body, we immediately cut to fucking.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And he is just having sex with this woman. The samurai cop is, like, out
with
of
helicopter
nowhere.
Lady. The
oh, right. Yeah.
He has helicopter. Sex with a female
Peggy, helicopter. I think her name is.
Peggy, the sexy cop.
He's just, like, totally railing this woman. And then it's like, then we cut to the police station.
Well, it's not even that. Well, it's a lot of, like, man panties that we've got going
oh,
on.
Man. Oh, man. Including his bathing suit we see later in the movie. What a fucking classic banana hammock that is.
If you've got it, flaunt it, man. And this guy has not? Got it.
I mean, it's amazing. He's built he's like one of the barbarian brothers.
He is. Yeah, he looks like that. And he's circumcised, too.
That's what we learned from the police station scene that we get to right after the fucking.
Well, that's the hospital scene, which is the important one. So we go.
Oh, this
is where they circumcise him.
We cut to the main bad guy is Fujiyama, and he is.
Now, wait, is this the bald guy or is this the businessman?
That's
guy
the business.
Is the mullet. The
yes.
Yes.
And a bad mustache on this guy.
He looks like a finalist at the World Series of Poker in like 1996.
Yeah, totally.
He's missing some Oakleys, but.
And he's basically like, look, this guy knows my whole operation. The guy that got burned up, we have to kill him. You have to cut his head off and put it on my piano. And like Robert Zadar's like, yes, I will cut his head off and I'll put it on your piano.
It's screenwriting.
I'm sorry. It's more deader. Yeah. Cut his head off and put it on my piano.
Yeah.
Cut his head off and put it on my, what's that say? Piano left in the movie.
And who ate my Doritos?
But that's the thing is, like, you're working for this gang. Mm-hmm. Like, he did a good job. He did the best job he could. Now you got to cut his head off and put it on display. Come on, man.
Well, this whole gang has this thing about, like, you don't get captured.
Yeah.
You know, because right. They don't want anyone to spill the beans.
No. Sure. Well, that's the thing, though. Like, if Samurai Cop and Frank Washington let this man just burn to death, it would have been a better end than what happens to this guy.
So Zadar and Cameron.
Cameron.
Did you see that Cameron worked with Robert Zadar?
You know, I think Zadar could come on this show and play some sort of disgusting alien creature.
Do you know what they call him? The face. It's all he's known for. It's his face. Because look at it.
I don't want somebody bigger than me on set.
Hey, Brannon Braga, you know how you can save some money in the makeup budget? Hire Robert Zadar to play an alien.
Do you have an alien chin coming up?
The alien chin episode, classic.
A race of alien chins.
So we go to the hospital, and Zadar,
who is it that says, "Would you like to fuck me?" Is that Peggy?
That's the nurse, isn't it?
I think that's everyone.
Is that Cameron?
This is the nurse. This is the really creepy nurse scene. So like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I just remembered it.
They drop this guy off at the hospital. By the way, so it's a burn ward. And you can see very clearly next to the burn ward is... Hold on. Give me one second. It's really great.
Abortionist?
No. It is...
Maternity ward?
Crematorium.
Ina Shear, DDS. It's burn ward and then the next door over... A dentist?
Do you want to know why that is?
Yeah.
Because they were filming this movie in a dentist's office.
Or they need the dentist nearby to identify those dental records.
Oh, that's right? A smart
shit,
idea.
You're right, man. Keep it right there. This hospital is really well organized.
It's smart.
Cut scene, Siska, I think.
Plus, you might have a cavity.
Mm-hmm.
Never know.
So they're dropping this guy off the burn ward. Like, oh, they ask... they asked this nurse, like, oh, can he give us information? Could he talk? And she goes, no way, his lips are burned, which is one of my favorite lines in the movie. But then she's like, you want to fuck me to Joe Marshall? And they have really sexy tete-a-tete.
Now, are women this forward in real life?
I don't think so.
No.
Turns out this is a fantasy written by dudes.
And like, but there's this weird thing where like she's like flirting with him, and then she's like, are you circumcised? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, well, that's probably where all the rest of your dick went. And he's like, what? Oh, yes. Like, that's really weird.
That was so great. It was just like, I think your doctor cut your dick
too much off or something.
Yeah. And he's like, no, he was a good doctor.
he's like, there's enough. Hey, there's enough.
Hey, listen, he was a good doctor. We are still friends to this day. I'm friends with the man that circumcised me.
This is a Twitter reply war in real life. It is like...
And what's awesome about this screenplay, it's not the last time we talk about cutting dicks off in this movie.
Hi, sorry, I couldn't help but over here. My name's Barry Johnson. I'm the urologist. I'm two doors down next to the dentist. I'm going to take a look at that. I really can. It's next to the burn ward, I know. It's just how the way this hospital's organized.
And I'm also a good doctor.
And doesn't Frank Washington here mention about how he's got a large member?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great.
That's a running joke.
It is. It goes on forever.
So Cameron comes into the hospital dressed up as a nurse, pushing a laundry cart that's hiding Robert Zadar.
Which, how is that even possible?
Come on.
You got to grease those wheels, Cameron. How are you going to move Robert Zadar even on a platform?
Right. I think this is where all the special effect money. I think there's green screens involved here. There's something going on.
I just have an image of her, like the elevator doors open and you just see the thing and she's pushing it with her back from the other side.
That's what it realistically would be, dude, is this woman really struggling to push Robert Zadar in a cart? Come on.
Well, a lot of sheets this week.
They're all soaked. Ooh.
Weird, it smells like Robert Zadar in here.
Oh, he's probably got like a distinct odor.
Yeah, he does.
I would love.
He did, R.I.P.
Bottle that shit, right? Mm-hmm. That would have been great. Spray some Zadar on you.
Essence of Zadar. Well, it actually took three puppeteers to work Robert Zadar.
Oh, really?
There's right. One guy
it's
in the
like Jabba the Hutt, one guy in the tail.
Somebody worked his ponytail.
I would love if there's a shot of Robert Zadar like talking in a scene and then the ponytail like comes out from behind his head like,
hey, how you doing?
And it laughs at C-3PO. No,
it just cackles like Jabba's little pet.
Salacious Crumb, yeah, it does.
What did you just say to me?
Go on.
Salacious Crumb, that's the little thing.
Oh, that's the little thing?
That's Jabba's little sex slave guy.
I don't know if they have sex. Maybe.
Oh, he's like sticking that somewhere.
I mean, Jabba's got to have a hole somewhere, right? Or does he like just like piss and shit all over his body like a slug or something?
Oh,
is that how, sidebar, is that how slugs go to the bathroom? Because I don't know.
You know what? Yeah.
Well, oh,
yeah,
sorry. I couldn't help but over here. I am a slug doctor. I'm three doors down from the burn ward next to the dentist and next to the urologist. Yes, they do. They piss and shit all over themselves.
Oh, cool.
You ever watch a slug have sex? Some weird
that
shit.
That is wild. Yep.
Where are you guys watching this?
On YouTube.
There was a YouTube thing of it.
God,
yeah.
What is this?
It's like there's this weird like light organism that comes out of the slugs.
It's
and they
quite awesome. This was going around the internet
like
a few years ago.
Two Girls, One Cup?
Yeah, it was after Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, it was like the sequel?
Yeah, two slugs, one branch.
Yes.
But it's awesome. They played it in slow-mo, and it's like watching aliens fuck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
This like light thing appears. There's like crystals or some shit. It's wild, dude.
Cameron dumbed it down for Avatar. There was once wild wraparound fucking going on.
Wait,
in that.
In Avatar, when they put their like ponytails
mind,
together?
Yeah, their
and they
mind start, tails.
That's like a slug?
Yeah.
So,
Zadar cuts this dude's head off.
And this is like, this guy's like gurgling and screaming. It's fucking brutal.
You've got to Kill Bill the dude. Like, one swipe.
Also, there would be blood everywhere.
Yes.
You wouldn't be able to stop this.
No, yeah, it would be. I mean, to be fair, this movie does have its fair share of bad fake blood, but like, this would be
like
Johnny Depp's bed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And she drives it with like one swipe of a towel. Absolutely not.
No,
he looks like he's carving a side of beef.
You are throwing that sword in the garbage.
Well, here's the thing. But, all right, so there's two of them, right? And she's pushing Robert Zadar around, which we know is impossible. Why isn't, like, Robert Zadar look that much not like a doctor? Like, they couldn't switch that around? Like, why isn't Robert Zadar pushing
you know
the fucking cart around?
Let's say you work anywhere, even in an office. You see, you would know if Robert Zadar works there. There's someone that looks like that.
That's a really good point.
And you wouldn't believe that he's in any profession.
Because if you worked in the same office or office building or office park with Robert Zadar, you would already have...
Or county.
The joke built into place. Oh, Jaws is coming in 10 minutes late this day. You know what I mean? Like, so you would know that. But What's also dumb is as he pops out of this laundry cart, he's dressed like a doctor.
I think that's just in case
someone walks in to him with a samurai sword to a dude's head. Oh, I'm just operating.
Oh, I work down the hall. My office is next to the slug doctor. I'm the Eastern medicine guy.
I'm giving this guy a circumcision.
I ordered this scalpel special.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't, if that walked down the halls.
That.
I would be like, that's not a doctor. No. I would immediately be like, no, that's not a doctor. Excuse me, this is a ruffian who like protects meth dealers.
Sorry, assassin pretending to be a doctor here.
Julianne Moore is walking around, and she's like, wait a minute. Bad fugitive joke. I don't know. So there's some like action here. They get this
big
guy's
parking
head.
Lot shootout. Big parking lot shootout right here.
Lots of parking lot shootouts in this film.
Oh, because the only place you're filming is parking lots and friends' houses up in the mountains. But there's a big parking lot shootout here after, what's this woman's name again?
Cameron.
Cameron, a great line to Zadar right here. She goes, like, Zadar is still in the laundry thing and they get out to the parking lot and she goes, get up. And he stands up out of the thing and she just goes, good job. These are fucking classic bits, man. Best screenplay I've heard in a long time.
We do have a beleaguered captain who kind of comes to nothing. He does have my favorite lines in the movie.
He is this actor who's presumably long dead.
Well, we don't. Yeah, probably.
R.I.P.D.
He's got some of the best lines in this movie, and he's having a great time.
I think
Samurai Cop.
Like, there's one scene that's like they just like when he's still posing, pointing at them.
Yes,
and
he
sits back down and he laughs. It's like. They just left the whole scene in there after they called cut.
The whole thing.
Like, he thinks he's done. That's him just reacting as a person.
Yep.
It's the best acting in the movie when he sits down and laughs.
They were like, oh, wow, look at that. Oh, how natural. You know what? Let's leave it in the movie. Yeah. But it doesn't make any sense. Don't worry about it.
I'm also skeptical that this is an actual police squad.
Oh, really?
I think this is more of an Albert Finney Bourne Ultimatum type program.
Okay.
Because he tells them to go out and kill people. Several times.
Right. No, only at the end. He's upset that they're killing people throughout the movie. That's character growth, Chris.
Right, but Chris, it's also the LIPD in the early 90s.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
That's actually true. True to
and these guys aren't white that they're killing. They're Japanese. So
right,
it checks out. It's a bit of a stretch for the LAPD, but it checks out.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want.
What I love about when Cameron and Zadar are trying to get away after this parking lot shootout, or they're trying to like get away from the hospital or whatever, they hop in this car. Mm-hmm. I think it's a convertible. I can't recall. But like Cameron's getting the car out while Zadar's like still shooting everybody. And she gets in this. Now, you're trying to evade the police.
Sure.
Right? You just murdered somebody in a hospital. Mm-hmm. She gets in the car and she starts it up. And instead of just pulling out of the space, this actress adjusts the steering column first. Oh God, it's so great.
Well, you know, maybe because Robert Zadar was driving it before, and like the
driving to the hospital. You could drive on the way home.
Fuck, dude, it's like the end of Son-in-Law. Somebody awfully big must have been driving.
Otho,
Otho, man, Otho should have been the Robert Zadar role.
You can't take this role away from Robert Zadar. There wouldn't be a movie left. Yeah. He is the movie.
Oh, do you think this movie was written, this role was written with Robert Zadar in
Absolutely.
Mind?
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of Robert Zadar in mind, RIP, by the way, do you think Paul White, a.k.a. The Big Show, could play Robert Zadar in a biopic and win an Oscar for that?
Yes to the first part, no to the second part. I mean, because the first part, why not?
Sure.
But the second part, nah.
So,
is he still wrestling?
The Big Show
is he still alive?
The Big Show is still alive. Yes,
for now.
Yeah, for
this
now.
Episode hasn't come out yet, so we don't know.
Yeah, the curse could live on. He was in MacGruber, so he was at least alive 10 years ago.
I remember that.
We should talk about the restaurant scene. So, like, basically, it's your standard cop movie, right? Like, the bad guys are all hanging out at a restaurant. We the police are gonna go intimidate them. So Marshall and Washington go.
I believe the restaurant is called the Blue Lagoon.
The Blue Lagoon.
That's a good name.
And they kind of just go and, I don't know, talk shit to him, which is fine. Like, you know, they get on the Marshall gets on this high horse about, like, you know, we respect the Japanese, but you're not respectful, and you sell drugs to little baby children, and this, that, and the other thing, and, like, you're destroying all of our baby children
right.
with your terrible with man drugs.
Well, if it's one drugs. Thing Samurai Cop cares about, it's baby children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Fucking beautiful women and saving baby children.
Making baby children.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So he can then save them from criminals later.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a girl or a woman that runs the restaurant. That's
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
That's her character name, anyway.
She is sitting with the gang.
I don't know her, the actress.
She might be. And no, I know her name. And she, they he stops this big impassioned speech about the war on drugs to be like, hey, what's an all-American girl like you doing with a geek like this?
Oh, yeah. Man. And you know that's just two vowels away from something.
Yep. Yep.
It's heinous.
It is.
Maybe that's coded.
That might be the original line in the ADR. They're like, you know that? If we're ADRing stuff, let's ADR that out.
Yeah, I think that, like, there's, like, Martin Video Store, because this could never air on Cinemax.
No.
And he was just like, yeah, that's even a little much for a video store. Take it back a notch.
Yeah. I like how Martin Video Store is a little nervous. I don't know, guys.
Dude, because he's a proprietor.
That's true.
Martin Cinemax is in a tower somewhere smoking right. cigars. This guy's dealing with customers. Yeah,
you're going to have to take that to Arthur Porn Star's place.
I'm art porn star. Whatever you want to show it now.
Does it have an X on it? Look, then I'll show it.
I got a little area in the back of my video store. It's got, you can show some stuff.
It's behind the saloon doors.
To some stuff.
So, yeah, it's kind of just this bullshit intimidation scene to basically, like, have the villain and the hero meet up for 2 seconds.
And introduce Jennifer, who, like, I guess, like, is flirting with Fujiyama, and, like, he buys her, like, a diamond of some kind.
I thought they were dating.
They might be dating.
They are dating.
Oh, they are dating. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
See this? They've been dating for months.
Many months.
Chris Cabin, tell us about their love story.
I got an
invite. What was... Chris Cabin.
Yes.
Let's start with the meet cute.
Well, I don't know. I was only invited to their moving in together party.
Oh, right. The housewarming.
Yeah,
type
that
of
was.
Thing, right?
Oh, did housewarming.
You,
yes.
Did you bring a nice bottle of wine?
Well, I brought some brie.
Oh, okay.
What does the Dar bring to an event like that, you think?
His
nothing.
Chin.
Himself.
His plus one, aka his chin.
His raw chin, masculinity.
His chin was the cutting board, right? You put the brie on top of it?
Yeah, that and some salami.
Oh, my God. You know he's dead, right?
He's great. We love Robert Zidane.
We do. Goodbye.
So the Samurai Cop and Frank decide to leave. At this point, they start questioning a barback or something.
I think he's like a busboy, maybe.
He's a busboy.
I thought he was a waiter.
The word I'm looking for is waiter.
You know what, guys? Who cares?
Uh-huh. No. We got to get to this. What is on his tax return?
He is everyone's favorite character in the entire movie.
Of course.
He's only one scene. I really expect this guy to come back.
When you have this much of a bombastic performance, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, of course you need this character to come back. He's the most, like, flamboyant, cartoonish character from, like, some other movie, yeah. Man.
Bronson Pinchot just can't have that one scene in Beverly Hills Cop. You got to give him a couple.
And bring him back for that sequel for no reason.
All of them. You got to bring him for all of them.
Is he in two?
Yes.
I know he's in three.
I know for a fact he's in three. But
for
a second,
sure I thought he was
two.
Saying that this waiter or barback character was in Samurai Cop 2 and 3. And I was like, what?
There's he is in Samurai Cop 2.
Is he really?
No, shut up.
Yeah,
is he
I
really?
Love it up.
God, now I'm going to have to watch it.
Was it just a thing where, like, everybody who wasn't dead at the time came back
it
for this?
It seems that way.
My finger is on my nose.
And Zadar died, like, during production.
I think Tommy Wiseau is, like, the villain.
I know Tommy Wiseau's in it. I don't know if he's the villain or not. And odds are I'll never watch it.
So they're talking to this guy. They're not asking about, you know, how does the gang work? You know, like, where do the drugs come?
Any crucial information that could help this case?
And I was like, what's the deal with that blonde man? And she's like, oh, it's my boss. I don't know. He's like, she's a little younger than around the restaurant. It's like, oh, she inherited it from her father. And he's like, oh, really? And he's like, he killed himself, which is my favorite line in the universe.
It's awesome because, like, basically this dude, like, took over the restaurant One, to have it be like his little like criminal hideout. But so like along the way, he's helped this woman and her mother financially.
Yeah.
As the busboy tells us, you know, after the father died. And like Samurai Cop says something like, you know, because the guy says something about like with a gun to his head and he goes, oh, he was murdered. And then he says, oh, he killed himself. And then Samurai Cop is like, oh, he committed suicide. And he says it like to Washington, and Frank Washington turns around and he's like, yeah, that's what suicide is, Samurai.
And they leave. He has a ridiculously long name, which is something. I guess it's like a Spanish joke, probably.
Yeah, that's just some like mildly racist gag. Yeah.
We get into another parking lot fight, wherein like, you know, these cops are leaving. A lawyer has already threatened to sue the police department for this harassment.
Right.
But Zadar's like, I'm going to kill these cops in a parking lot.
Which is, you know what? Like, listen, Zadar.
Yeah.
It's done. The situation is diffused. Go back to your salmon steak or whatever you're eating.
He does not eat salmon steak.
It's 3 pounds of raw beef.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty awesome because this scene is like Zadar is kind of like the wrestling manager.
Uh-huh.
And he's one by one like sicking these hoodlums on these two cops. And it's like, all right, wait. All right, now you go. All right, wait. All right, now you get in there.
Well, the guy with the gun is the last one to enter the arena. And he's the like, that's the first guy. Like, shoot these guys in the head.
Yeah, just getting it over with. Which, you know, the cops in this movie... This gag is played a couple times where it's like, uh-oh, you only have your hands or a sword, and he's got a gun. What are you going to do, samurai? And then Frank Washington's like, I have this under control, blammo.
Yeah, it's a pretty good gag.
It's a good Raiders of the Lost Ark thing.
It is.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. See?
I mean, they're doing
sweet
that.
Sweet rip.
And this is all Lethal Weapon bullshit. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah. I think Samurai Cop even has cowboy boots on, right?
I do. Yeah, that sounds right.
He's got a
Riggs fucking mullet.
Oh yeah, no, this is all Riggs. Riggs as a samurai.
He's got a Riggs or a Mrs. Bates mullet, depending on when
from shot to shot.
Yeah, depending shot to shot. And like, there is a lot of hilarious death here. I mean,
Robert Zadar, I guess he gets frustrated with the way that this parking lot shootout goes down because like. These cops kind of put some bullets in dudes and like handcuff some guys or whatever, and they make a break for it because they're under fire.
Yeah.
But then Zadar's like, all right, you didn't pass the test of killing these two cops. And he's got this machine gun and he's just murdering his own men at this point.
And you know, man, like, why would I work for the Katana gang? Like, the stakes are too high for me, a thug.
Code of silence.
Code of silence.
That's what he explains to Frank Washington, right?
But then you have to, like, you know, retrain all these dudes, like these new dudes that come in because you just murdered that old gang.
I don't think they think the long game.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, is this now leading into like the discotheque fight?
Yes.
With the hardwood floors? Right.
he winds up coming back to talk to Jennifer. There's a very long scene in which I guess her dad we didn't know was Jim Henson. Because there's this puppet lion. This puppet lion that is sitting in this scene. I'm like, what?
It's awesome, and it's like the way they frame it is like this woman is in close-up, and she's talking to Samurai, and this stuffed lion puppet thing is just right next to her face in the frame. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense.
It's more prominent than she is in the frame, for sure.
It's like that doll. It's like the Seinfeld doll collection. It's really, really unnerving. I wouldn't want it near the bed, honestly.
So on his way out...
It might be a bed thing, though. Oh. You know what I mean?
Bringing it into the bedroom,
you think? Dude, I think
shit.
Yeah.
Toy.
That's weird.
Yeah.
A toy? Is that what you said?
Yes, I called the stuffed lion a toy.
Sexual toy.
So there's also a thing where it's like, and this is, it's an important plot detail. We got to get this in here. He's like trying to ask her out on a date.
That's right.
And she's like, oh, I'm busy Friday because... The restaurant's really busy on Friday, so I have to be here. And he's like, all right. How about Sunday? And she goes, well, I go to church on Sunday. Plus, it's my birthday. And he's like, what church do you go to?
Also, do you know I'm circumcised?
There's a lot of rumors going around about me not being circumcised. that it was a bad, it was a botched circumcision. But he was, I don't know if you've heard on the street or not.
But he's a good doctor. I know a lot of people are telling he was a bad doctor and chopped my dick off. But
chop my dick off.
And he goes downstairs, and yeah, this is the discotheque. This is not a set that is you've ever seen before or since.
Nope. And I guess it's part of the restaurant?
I guess so. And then these like five hillbillies show up, and they're like, we were told to break both your legs by Okamura, who is the guy that brought all the weapons to the movie. In case
Jerry, man.
And, you know, he dispatches these dudes. We cut to another parking lot fight because one guy runs away and he runs into the parking lot.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Does like he kill just this guy? He threatens to break his arm, I think.
And
I'm like waiting for it to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, that arm looks fake, dude. This is going to happen. It's going to break. But no, it was just bad lighting. And he just arrests him, I think.
And he gets Okamura's name, and then like he goes to Okamura's house. This is the raid on Okamura's house.
Oh, right. That's a good movie title.
Because Okamura is getting it wet in the bedroom.
Yeah,
just
well,
another classic sex scene. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't go all the way, right? It's just him and his knickers, and he's like prepping the main chorus.
Again, if these filmmakers had a little bit more gumption, they would have just shot a sex scene and well, we're done with it.
I think there's confirmed fucking because what happens here
is like post-coital?
No, it's during, dude, because Samurai and Washington roll up to this house and they go to this this like sliding door and Samurai like peers in and he turns around and he's like, Nakamura's in there, and like Washington takes a look and he goes, looks like this is his last fuck.
And they debate to let him keep going.
Washington's like, oh, why don't you let him finish? And Samurai's like, nope, gotta break this door down.
And Peggy is here as well as some other white cop who like this guy, like this older guy.
Oh, the dude who gets butchered later in the movie, which is awesome.
And like so like Samurai and Washington go off and Peg, I think it's also like this movie's way of saying that, you know, Samurai isn't monogamous with Peg, but that's okay because Peg isn't monogamous with Samurai.
Or are they saying that's her only character trait?
Also, she also flies a helicopter, though, pretty
well. You mean the line, you and I got nothing to do, let's fuck?
Yes, to this, like, 60-year-old man.
And this dude does not consider it because, as it turns out, he's a happily married man, which we find out a few minutes later into the movie.
He's pretty bitter. I think he's just bitter because he knows it's a joke.
Oh, I see.
I don't think it's a joke. I think it could have happened for him.
You know what the best part of... Is it Okamura or Nakamura?
I believe it's Okamura. I'll double check.
Best part about this dude's apartment, by the way, you guys peep that sick Defender arcade tower?
Absolutely.
It's the only good thing in this place.
It's pretty cool, man. And it reminded me of... another recent ninja movie we did. Ninja 3, The Domination, man. Because that was a fake video game? We learned it was a real thing that was like limited
release.
Didn't
get off the ground.
Yeah,
it was
like a limited
amount.
It was like
the pilot arcade tower.
It's Okamura.
Okamura, okay.
There's a chase. They kill a bunch more people at Okamura's house. Sure. They're murdering people left and right.
Absolutely.
And he winds up fighting Okamura on like a, I don't know, not a beach, but like...
It's just a field. Another free place to film.
Yeah, it's very dusty or sandy, or it's like
yeah,
very
they
dry.
Shot in North Carolina.
What? No.
No, they didn't.
This is distinctly California dirt.
Oh, dude, you could not get a crew to leave Los Angeles to make this movie, man. This is on location.
You couldn't even lock in a haircut, man. Like, you're not getting anyone to leave.
An actor brought weapons from home. You don't have lighting. Period.
And they fight, and he winds up... Oh, that's right. He fights, he beats Okamura, and then Washington goes to handcuff him.
Oh, he broke his arm.
But he breaks out, and Samurai has to kill him. Like, so this whole thing is just yet another fucking body on the fucking slab.
To which Samurai says, by the way, well, this one's dead too, not captured alive. And like, dude, you are just destroying your own case here.
We have to get into Washington's catchphrase, which is, oh man, the captain's gonna have my butt for this.
Yes.
And that's fine. That's a totally fine, like, like early 90s catchphrase.
I say it all the time.
Or he's going to burn, no, I'm sorry, he's going to burn my butt.
He's going to burn my ass, yeah.
Burn my ass. And and I think Samurai replies,
your ass is already black.
That's
yes,
the joke.
Yeah, I'm pretty
then,
sure.
Yeah, and then, and like, Gwash is like, it sure is. And end of scene. Like, that's kind of it.
And cut.
Mm-hmm. Washington's like, why am I friends with this guy? Why did I bring him from San Francisco or San Diego, wherever he came from?
But this is the last straw for Fujiyama, because he's like, all right, that's it. He killed my good friend Okamura. I want his whole team dead. Every last one of them, and we're going to torture and kill them all.
Some kid they call Samurai Cop, he says.
Some kid, you've got to be kidding.
Dude, this guy is 43 years old if he's a day.
He's in great shape.
He's amazing.
There's no way you could ever call this guy a kid.
No, yeah. No. The chest hair alone.
Mm-hmm. Burgess Meredith. If Burgess Meredith was in this movie, you could call him a kid.
Better movie, man.
Young pup. Burgess Meredith.
And Burgess Meredith as Okinawa. Or whatever.
Okamura, yeah.
Okamura, sorry.
That's great.
Yeah, I am Japanese.
No, they actually wanted a Burgess Meredith, but he didn't have any weapons to bring to set. So
you've been cut from the movie. We're gonna have to fire you and recast.
Jerry has the weapons. We're going to have to go with him.
Which is also why Eric Stoltz was fired off of Back to the Future.
He couldn't bring his own time machine.
Yes.
Well, you know, Michael J. Fox does have a DeLorean. I mean, Steven, we need somebody in this movie that has a DeLorean.
Michael Gross bought it for him as an 18th birthday present.
And Christopher Lloyd owns Huey Lewis.
It's true.
Hey, I got this Huey Lewis. I ain't using it. Got him at a garage sale. $50.
Keep him in a cage in the basement.
So they have to break the news to Zadar that this whole thing has gone down. And this is where there is the hardcore nudity.
Yes.
Versus just the regular nudity. This is the hardcore, you just see a vagina in this movie nudity.
Patrick, Sir Patrick, can we leave now? I feel uncomfortable watching Cameron in this way. I don't think that she would want us to see her in this way.
No, I'm not talking about the hardcore nudity. I'm talking about Robert Zadar's tongue on her face.
In a minute. Just another minute.
Just a second, Michael. I know I'm your ride, so you're going to sit there till I'm finished.
I've been allured by the plot.
I can't stand up right now, Michael.
You're the one who told me it would be fine to wear sweatpants to a movie premiere.
Movie premiere.
Well, I'm not going to wear slacks to Samurai Cop, am I?
Samurai.
I love how much he was bitching about it at the cafeteria, but he ended up going to
he had nothing to do that night.
Yeah.
Oh, do you see that over there? Burton's got jeans on. Jeans. Could have been comfortable at this piece of shit.
Could have suppressed my boner.
And Dawn, would you two bury the hatchet? Why is he sitting all the way over there?
I don't know. They probably got along fine. So at this point, Robert Zadar and his team go to the old man's house, who is barely a character. He was propositioned for sex once. And it's just him. It's actually a really nice, it's just him and his wife. They're having a nice afternoon.
She's reading. He's practicing martial arts.
Yeah. He's wearing like a little undershirt there. And she's, you know, just in a robe. They probably just had like really good monogamous, you know, 60-year-old sex.
Totally. And you know what I'm just realizing? This whole sequence that we're about to talk about, the exact same thing happens in Ninja 3, by the way.
Yeah, it kind of does.
With all these cops getting murdered. This dude's house, by the way, is awesome. The entire thing is decorated with martial arts awards and like framed fucking newspaper clippings. This guy is proud of his achievements.
This is also the plot of Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, right.
Where they go after the whole team.
And
Zadar has diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity.
What?
Diplomatic immunity.
What did he say?
I said I have diplomatic immunity.
Michael, do you know what he's saying?
Let me slow it down for you. I have diplomatic immunity.
Is this a movie or a play? Is he talking to me right now?
Or
Oh shit, Michael. I think it just hit. I think it just hit. I'm going over the deep end, man.
Did he just say Dormitory Aurealis?
So they break in, and this is Robert Zadar only says this line twice in the movie, and I wish he said it more. Which is, he breaks in and he holds his wife hostage. She's about to get sexually assaulted.
At sword point, by the way.
Because it's a movie. And, because it's this movie. And they have a sword to the guy. And Robert Zadar says, "I want to know where your samurai friend is." And he says it twice, and I could literally hear it all day. If I could change my phone ring to, "I want to know where your samurai friend is."
I want to know where your samurai friend is.
He was soft-spoken, you son of a bitch. You leave Robert Zadar alone.
But just picture that stupid voice coming out of that face. It's fucking funny.
Oh, I can't even see. Who is this big mook in front of me? Michael. Oh, I think that's Robert Zadar.
Sitting next to Hollywood C-list royalty.
Let me smell his ponytail. Yes, that's Zadar, all right.
Was that, do you think, now this is an important question, because I don't know the makeup department budget in this movie, and we already had to shell out for one fucking wig. Was that a real ponytail Robert Zadar is sporting in this movie?
I hope so.
I think he brought that to set.
Don't take that from me and the samurai cop's hair.
Jerry brings the weapons. He brings the ponytail.
So he winds up killing this guy's wife in front of him. And
cutting her throat, by the way.
Yeah. And this is the best acting in the movie. I feel so bad for this old bastard. Like
I did too.
He's like 2 weeks terrible. From retirement. Yeah. Like he loves this woman.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the only successful scene this movie pulls off. And then, this dude, he swears he doesn't know. He's looking, Zadar is looking for where samurai lives.
I want to know where your samurai friend is.
Right. And he swears he doesn't know. So then Robert Zadar just, stabs this dude through the gut. Leaves him for dead, and then this dude is crawling around on the floor.
That's what
trying
does it.
To like hold. No. He's crawling to his wife's corpse, crying.
Yeah,
it's from another movie.
It is. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, dude, just fucking cut my head off if you're gonna do that. Don't let mm-hmm. me bleed out.
Yeah, no, just make sure I'm fucking dead. But that's, Robert Zadar. He's a criminal mastermind. He's heartless, dude. He'll just let this guy suffer.
So this is when we split up. Chuck and his brother, which is a real nice detail.
What?
There's a gang. One of them is...
Chuck, take your brother.
Is Chuck the guy that looks like John Carpenter?
No, that guy stays with Zadar. Okay. Only Chuck and his brother go to Washington.
Ah.
That sounds like a movie. Chuck and his brother go
to Washington. Can Chuck and his brother even get to Washington anymore?
They go to Washington, Washington's house, and Zadar takes John Carpenter, yes.
Yeah, the guy looks like John Carpenter.
He does. Time. It's awesome.
Yeah.
They go to Peg's house. But, the Chuck and his brother go to get Washington, and, they get bested by Washington because they're fucking idiots.
Washington disassembles these guys. It's
pretty
really
awesome.
Freaking ridiculous. I mean, you would think there'd be one more death.
Shockingly, I'm having trouble remembering some details from this movie. Is Washington up to anything interesting when they meet him at home? Is he at home?
He's just kind of half naked.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He's coming out of the shower.
Yes. Oh, right. Oh, because it's this scene.
Mm-hmm.
They pull this dude's towel off, and then these two assassins just immediately start looking at this dude's huge penis.
It's this thing, when he puts the knife to his dick.
Yeah, and it's like, you got to tell us where samurai is. We're going to cut your huge cock off.
No, your huge gift.
And then he goes, "You're huge." They say your gift. And then he goes, "Your huge black gift." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know, everybody. It's a movie. I'm seeing it. I am seeing it.
I know that this actor is black. Therefore, he also has a black penis."
Well, here's the thing is, the problem is we're not seeing it.
Just
do it.
Show it, dude. Yeah.
Show it. We've seen everything else on this movie.
It was probably on the actor who played Washington. He was just like, "You know what, man? This is a movie called Samurai Cop.
Prosthetics,
dude. Show my penis.
I can't get back to the electronics store on fucking Tuesday, man."
You are right.
Eric, everyone. You're talking prosthetic penises. A man had to bring weapons from home.
I had to bring a prosthetic penis from home. But Chris is right. Everyone in this movie worked at Radio Shack.
No, they couldn't even make it at a Radio Shack. Yeah. It's their own off-brand Bradley's Electronics.
What do you have against small businesses?
I just don't like them.
Oh, and they God. Had to
They're
like
killing this economy.
Rearrange their shifts in order for certain ones to do certain scenes.
That sounds about right. Like, oh, we can't have these two in the same. We can't have both. Oh, or we got lucky. We got Chuck and his brother. They both got the day off from the radio show. Well,
that's why there was a 7-month pause in between, because the director got another gig.
So we can't have Samurai Cop in this scene because he's covering for Chuck and his brother at the electronics store. So I guess they go to Frank's house. Okay, now we're cooking with gas.
Frank, oh, it's Thursday. Frank has off on Thursdays. Perfect, oh, perfect, perfect, perfect.
Great.
So he just nudely beats these men up?
Yeah, well, he's like, oh, they're like, give us the address of Samurai Cop. And he's like, oh, it's in my closet. And Chuck or his brother, I get them confused. They look so alike. He goes into the closet and he's like, I can't find this address anywhere. And like... Then he gets the better of the other guy.
Right,
and he kills them both. But like,
why would someone's address be in a closet?
Like, just no. You tell me what the address is.
Either tell me what the address is, or you have to specify, Frank Washington. Like, it's in a pair of. It's written down on a pair of slacks.
Yes.
That are in the closet.
Written on a pair of slacks.
It's
I have his pants that his mother wrote his address on.
Well, also, it doesn't make any sense because we're told that Samurai has come from San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so he just has an apartment in L.A.?
Well, yeah, he relocated. He's got a job then. You know?
But I thought it was just... I thought the whole thing was like, we're bringing this dude temporarily.
A visiting samurai?
Like Beverly Hills Cop.
I think he's like proving his worth here.
I think he was transferred for all the samurai-related crimes going on. Like,
oh, man, the Los Angeles Samurai Division?
Yeah.
LAPD.
Like, they're so, you know, because they have the apparently dueling Asian gangs.
It's true. They're eating L.A. alive.
They are.
So the other guys, Zadar and Non-Carpenter, go to Peg's house,
mm-hmm.
and she is fully clothed, shockingly, for Samurai Cop, the motion picture.
But importantly, she has a midriff.
Yeah. Oh, well, she's still, I mean, you know, she's got to look sexy. You're going to look sexy for this movie. But she's like cooking something is the idea.
I don't know. Is this, what is she? I guess she's about to put chicken in oil. Like, it's
I think we're about to make some good old pan fried chicken. Man.
This looks disgusting. Yeah. it's just boiling grease she has on the
that's
skillet.
That's how you fry chicken on a stovetop, man.
Which is fine. I don't think she's doing it. I don't know what's going on. Like, doesn't ring true to the character to me.
I just like the smell of burning oil.
Oh shit. It's like, oh. It's doing it for me.
That's like when you sniff, like, you know, like cooking oil smoke and you like choke on it a little
Peg
bit.
Peg was here with us.
Was getting character.
Well, I can't stand up now, so let's continue the podcast.
I told you not to wear sweatpants while we're recording.
So they hold her down. Thankfully, she's not sexually assaulted. I would have bet dollars to donuts I was going.
I thought
that
that's the way it was going. I was like, thanks for nothing, movie.
No, thanks for everything.
Yes, thank you.
No, when I thought it was about to happen, I was like, okay, here we go. Yeah, what a
nice
shock.
Cover.
But instead, it's just some old-fashioned grease torture.
They just start pouring this boiling oil on
her. And this actress, God bless her, is not reacting appropriately to having boiling grease thrown on your midriff, man.
Yeah.
She's like, greasy strangler.
Ow! Yeah, the greasy strangler, there's better grease-related burning reactions.
Rudy Tootie Disco. Rudy Tootie Disco Cutie.
That's right.
Yeah, bullshit artist.
And they're just like, you know, trying to get the address out of her. And
this is the reprise of, I want to know where your samurai friend is.
Ah.
Or the alternate take, which is,
I want to know where your samurai friend is.
Is he looking for a sandwich?
I said I want to know where your Italian combo is.
LeVar, are you getting any of this? Any of it?
LeVar? Oh, he left.
Sir Patrick, is this how I sound to you? Is this how people read how I sound?
Oh, man. So does she give up the address?
I think she does.
I mean, somebody does at some point. We eventually get to
the She gives up the address.
And then Washington's like, hey, man, you got to get out of there. The guys are coming for you. They escape.
Well, this is... We're in the middle of... I think it's a kidnap date.
Yeah.
Oh, because yeah, this is, Samurai yes. shows up
that's right.
at her church.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, on Sunday, on her birthday.
I'm going to go to your place of worship and just wait outside for you.
Episcopalian.
Well, that's right.
Whatever that line was.
They say that like, because she's like, I go to the Episcopal church down on whatever. And he's like, ah, Episcopal.
Well, the best thing is like she comes out and he's there. And she's like, oh, were you in church? She's like, yeah, you didn't see me. I was preaching. And she's like, what?
No, I think she's like, oh, you're so funny.
This is weird.
So then he's like, and this is fucked up, though. This is some abusive power cop shit right here, because he's like.
Speaking of our ninja movie that we did, Ninja 3 The Domination.
Oh, right. This is kind of crazy, actually, because he's like, hey, I have to ask you a few questions. And she goes, police-related questions? Mm-hmm. And he goes, sort of. Cut to, he's just bringing her home,
yeah.
and he's like, let me give you the tour, takes her by the hand.
Yeah.
We then cut, and it's like, there's dinner, there's a successfully fried chicken on this table, and there's wine poured, and candles, and all this shit, and she's just like, how did you know that I'd say yes to coming with you, or something like that? And he's like, I had a hunch. Or oh no, it's a great line. He goes, let me just say this. I can read eyes. And yeah. she's like, ready to go.
Did you lock the door behind us?
Am I free to leave right
first
now?
First thing I thought that was Patrick Stewart. Like, did they lock the theater door?
Oh, no. It's like
not,
in...
It's not opening.
It's like in Glorious Bastards.
Q, stop this.
We are not your puppets, Q.
That would be awesome if every time Patrick Stewart just gets frustrated about something, he yells and blames Q.
Then John Delancey shows up. Oh, hello, Patrick. Enjoying the movie.
Some Earth culture, Patrick.
Watch these apes fuck on a screen.
It's amazing. So then he takes her. I guess he lives on the beach.
Sure, why not?
Because they go to the beach for a little
just
bit.
Just like Riggs.
That's right. And thankfully, she has brought a bathing suit to church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she's in a...
That's a good movie title, too. She brought a bathing suit to church.
It's like she wore a yellow ribbon.
Yeah.
So she's in like this sexy bikini that you should not wear to church. And he's in this banana hammock.
Yeah.
And they're walking on the beach. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like... Here we go. They start like kind of getting ready to make out. And I'm like, oh, there's going to be some beach fucking. But then it just cuts and they're swimming in his pool.
But all of this is intercut with all of his friends being tortured
yes.
and or murdered.
Yeah.
And he's just like having the time of his life.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like, you don't know what's going on in other people's lives. Like, when you're having a great time, someone could be getting grease poured
actually,
on
them. And that's like exactly what happens in Lethal Weapon 2 is he's having sex with the lawyer.
Right.
And they're intercutting with all of his fucking colleagues
right.
getting killed.
You're right.
Man.
Had
somebody
a case.
Had a case.
They had a case.
Warner Brothers had a case. Dick Donner had a case here, man.
Samurai Cop escapes. And they come after him, he escapes, and they go back to the captain, and I guess they find out about everybody who died. And the captain, who has been on him the whole movie, like, you know, played by the rules, blah, 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 two of the people were murdered, he's like, well, you know, that's it. I just want these sons of bitches dead. I want you to go to his house. I want you to kill every last one of them, and you'll come back here, and we'll all turn in our badges and won't be cops anymore. And it's like, wow.
This dude is totally into it at this point. And also, it's the second time in the movie that this character, who is like a late 60s, maybe early 70s-year-old man, is yelling at these guys about his future. And I'm like, listen, old man, there's more fucking... sunsets behind you than ahead of you. What are you talking about?
But his retirement, man. My God, the pension,
sure.
You're throwing your pension away at the worst possible time.
But I also, I kind of wish that we stayed with them because this was not a great police, you know, this precinct wasn't great to begin with.
Yeah.
Now they're planning on exiting the next day. Like they're all going to quit.
Yeah, that's true.
That place has turned into Fuck City.
That's a good
point. Welcome to Fuck City, where everybody fucks.
Hey, the chief quit. Let's just start fucking.
Well, it's a very horny police station, as we know.
Oh, man. Actually, so speaking of fucking, the end of, like, so before Samurai and Jennifer have to, get out of Dodge.
Sure.
He walks in to whatever room it is in his house, in the banana hammock still, holding a birthday cake, singing happy birthday to this woman.
Happy birthday to you, dear Jennifer. Just the best.
Then they have intercourse.
Yes. Then we go to Fujiyama's house, and we just start shooting up everybody. This takes a long time.
Oh, yeah. This is John Carpenter gets shot into a pool right here, which is pretty great because he gets shot, and then he like slowly just sits on a diving board and then lazily falls into this pool. It's great.
Well, you don't want to hurt yourself. Oh, then there's Tim Burton, the henchman, as well.
Oh, the guy that's like balding but has long hair? Yeah he's creepy.
Yeah, it looks disturbing.
Killing a bunch of people.
I mean, it's just killing a bunch of people.
There's it goes on forever.
Guy that gets up on the roof and he gets shot off of the roof.
How does Jennifer wind up at this guy's house? We kill everybody, she's
entangled with him. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know
how she goes to at the end.
Well,
she goes to the restaurant. Oh, that's what it is. She goes to the restaurant after all that hot sex.
Oh, right.
And the mother is like, where were you?
A character.
Well, yeah, it turns out she's a character in this movie. But she's like, where are you? I was working at this restaurant without you. I was worried or whatever. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. I was just having a lay and some birthday cake or something. And then she's talking shit about Okamura.
Yeah.
And the dude then turns out to be standing like right there. And
Fujiyama, by the way.
Oh, it's Fujiyama? Yeah. Oh, Okamura is the bald guy who's been murdered at this point. So Fujiyama is like, she's talking shit about Fujiyama, and it's one of those like, oh, he's behind me, isn't he? And then he's just like, I think it's something that's just like, oh, can I talk to you for a second? And he kidnaps her.
But you're right outside his office. Why not shit talk him right there to his secretary?
Because she is still high on getting fucked by samurai,
man. I guess so.
You wouldn't understand.
I guess I wouldn't.
It's a fucked by samurai cop type of thing. You wouldn't get it.
I've never had the fever.
Not yet.
You've never been fucked by samurai cop fever. On your birthday.
Oh, man, forget about it on your birthday. My birthday's coming up. I hope that happens.
I really hope it happens, too. I hope you get that.
So,
there's a really great, there's an assassin, low-level criminal with a machine gun who gets shot by either Samurai or Washington. I don't remember who.
Kind of doesn't matter.
But there's a, no, Dolly does not. There's a really great, we're ripping off, Oliver Stone, a platoon. The whole, like, falling down in slow motion. This dude is falling down, like, with this machine gun.
Oh, right.
Just like Platoon.
Oh, he does a Willem Dafoe?
Yes, he does. It's another great instance of ripping off. And, I just thought of another ripoff thing. Not to backtrack too far.
We call them homages.
Yeah, you call them that when you don't want to get a suit thrown at you. But this one, I think Sir John Williams had a fucking suit. Do you guys remember during the stalking peg scene?
Uh-huh.
When you just see like just the legs of whatever like assassin is sneaking into her house, they just kind of do the Jaws thing.
Oh, do they really?
They definitely do for like 10 to 20 seconds, and
that's
then it's
too
like
many.
When it's revealed that it's Zadar or the other guy, John Carpenter, whoever's feet it is, it stops.
Stone definitely has a case because right after that guy freaking falls on the ground, they cut to a clip of Tom Berenger.
And it's an interview with Vladimir Putin. But so I would have liked, speaking of the Jaws type of theme, what if Zadar played the shark?
Oh, right.
What if it's just a Zadar in the water?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be scarier if there was a Zadar. Giant wet man in the water?
Eating your boat? Yeah.
And totally. Your boys?
That would be better than
Zadar's eyes, white like a doll's eyes.
I mean, I think that's better. That's better than Jaws the Revenge, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If they were like Jaws the Revenge starts and they're like, it's another shot. Oh, yeah. It's not actually. It's a man with a huge chin eating us.
Jaws the Revenge, take out any of the Jaws scenes in it. It is on Golden Pond, essentially, except for with like
a
drug baron.
Because Hoagie wants to get it wet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that. Look at that big chin man in the water eating my plane. Get out of here. Get out of here, Zadar Shark.
Better movie, man.
Great movie.
Yeah.
So Fujiyama gets it, you know.
Big time.
Yeah.
And we finally, it's Zadar v. Samurai. We
at somebody else's house. Because
we gotta drive fucking across town to get there.
Because the movie is over with, and then Samurai is like, oh, hey, Jennifer, I gotta go deal with Robert Zadar. But, you know, keep a light on for me.
He says that to Peggy.
No, he says keep it warm. His catchphrase in this situation.
And what he's talking about, Chris, is her genitals.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was like the seat in her car.
No, that's a common misconception.
Yeah. Okay. So her genitals. Okay.
Yes.
So they go and, you know, there's a much to do, but they wind up. It's a sword fight. It's a katana fight.
Yeah.
And it's a very clearly not choreographed katana fight.
No, it's a let's just turn this camera on and see what happens.
And losing the only light here.
Really slow, a lot of these fight moves. And really slow.
This is like, and here's the thing. It's like, why, how did you not, like the first time you shot the movie when he didn't have this horrible wig on his head. You have some of those shots.
Yeah.
How did you not get enough shots that you had to go back and do reshoots with this wig on? Because it's like shot with, shot without, shot with, shot without.
The
it's
final nuts. Fight it's with nuts. Robert Zadar is like where this is the most egregious.
Yes.
It's like 1-to-1. Every time we cut, the hair is fake and then it's real. And then it's fake and then it's real. And Robert Zadar's chin is real the entire time.
I think this is why I didn't really notice, because the longer we get into the movie, the more fucked up I'm getting.
Right? Oh, yeah, sure.
That's what, you know what? Yeah. It's you get fucked up fast in those 82 minutes.
Yeah.
So he.
it's 93 things.
No, is this movie over an hour and a half?
It is. It's a little bit. Yeah.
Holy shit.
So I was justified in getting that fucked up fast.
Michael, we have we've got dinner reservations. Is this still going on? Oh, Robert Zadar's house now.
By the way, all the henchmen in this movie, I think, are on PCP.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's so many instances of, like, not the actors, but like I think these henchmen, like they're being forced to take PCP because they all take at least 4 shots to the chest to die.
Yes.
It's like you shoot the dude once and he's like, arr, and then immediately kind of comes back. And they just sort of do that a bunch of times.
Well, there's also Refrigerator Perry. That guy's not going. You saw that dude?
Yes.
That dude's not going down with more than 4 shots.
Refrigerator Perry has the, or a dude who looks like Refrigerator. Yes. Perry has the best like visual gag in this movie because he's got this huge rifle and he's like tiptoeing through this property and he's trying to hide behind this narrow little tree.
Yeah.
Oh, it is glorious.
So he bests Zadar, right?
Yeah. You know, yeah, defeats him in combat.
He defeats him, he's about to kill him, and then Frank actually and somehow is like, he's like, Joe, stop! You're a cop. And he's like, oh, yes, I am a cop.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't murder people who are unarmed.
Well, there's literally one person left to pin anything on with this case.
We should arrest one person.
And nobody can understand him, so.
Yeah, you don't want that guy testifying.
And this is where, like, I think this movie's great. This movie's a recommend, blah, blah, blah. If this movie was just this, if the movie was just like how to install an air conditioner for 2 hours, like a really long air conditioner YouTube video,
right?
And it ended with Robert Zadar committing seppuku, I would be. It's a recommend. It's the best movie I've ever seen. The fact that there's all this other great stuff before is it's icing on the cake. It's
Sure.
The movie ends with Robert Zadar committing seppuku.
It's so great. And it's like, you know, like Frank Washington is like, are you going to let this dude do that? I just said we have to arrest this guy. And he's like, no. Code of honor. It's what they live by. Yeah. He has to die with dignity.
He lost face.
Yeah. And he had
face to lose, I'll tell you that much.
Face to spare.
Yeah, seriously.
And then so he just kills himself. And you kind of, again, bravo on the sound department here on this part, because it's like, it's like good, like gurgling on your blood.
I would have liked a little bit more. I would like to stick with
it
a little
bit. I'd like to see it, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see
it. The Way of Bushido.
Has there ever been a really good seppuku in a film?
Letters from Iwo Jima must have one. Right?
Mishima's got some
Mishima's
good stuff,
got
doesn't
one?
It?
What the fuck? Oh, God.
Like I'm a bloody mess seppuku?
There's one, and I'm forgetting the name of it because I'm an idiot.
I think that I haven't seen it in a while, but I think the Paul Schrader movie Mishima in 4 parts.
I'm
is
pretty
a
sure that has
scene.
One.
If somebody could make me a supercut, that'd be great.
Oh,
a seppuku?
Super seppuku.
You go there and you're like, oh, let me get a haircut. Like, oh no, you have to kill yourself with a tiny blade.
Dude, actually, that's a great idea for a business venture. It's called Seppucuts. And you go in and you give yourself a haircut in the store.
And then kill yourself.
What is that? Is that like a dagger one? What is that? A tanto? It's
yeah.
Katana. So there's a middle one.
Yeah, it's the tiny
one. I don't know
one.
Much
middle,
about swords.
Middleana.
Middleana.
And Tanto, I think.
Right? Which one do you use for the seppuku?
I think Tanto.
I think it's a short guy. You got to get in there.
Oh, cool. So a samurai cop does give him the correct weapon in which to commit suicide.
Oh, no, he has it on himself.
He's, oh, does he? Oh,
Zadar's he's ready to go.
I thought, no, I thought it was a drop knife.
No. He brought it from home.
It says, Dear Robert, Merry Christmas, 1983, engraved on it. So
congrats
he's dead.
On the Hollywood move. Yeah, he's dead. And the movie's kind of over. There's one more shot of Jennifer and
we go. This is awesome. So we go back to the beach, and it's just footage from that first beach scene, and they're making out again. And I'm like, all right, I would not put it past this movie to end on fucking, but we don't end on fucking. We end on a shot of a rock.
With a wave splashing over it. I'm
like what? And then it goes to crap. What are you talking? Like, Samurai Cop doesn't even have any, like, I'll be back in 25 years.
Don't you see? It's like a Cirquean move, a symbolism, man.
Oh.
The white wave over the rock.
Oh, totally. I'm coming. It's like I'm coming.
Yes. It's Marshall's come.
It's Marshall's come.
Oh, if this was a Western, that's what it would be called.
Is that it? Can we leave?
Oh, no. There's a fucking Q&A. Fuck this.
We're not staying. We're not staying, Michael. Go warm up the car.
Marina, get up. Marina, get up. Get up if you don't get up first, Marina.
It's already started. We have to sit back down now. I guess we signed our life away.
Oh Jesus. Yes, I do have a question for the director. Just warm up the car. How did you get such great shots?
A standing ovation. Yes. Yes.
Michael just pulled the fire alarm. It's the only way we're getting out of here.
You know what? We're beyond that point. Break my neck. Kill me dead in this theater.
Patrick, you can't take that back. I can do it.
Dude, that's the thing with Michael Dorn, man. It's like a genie. If you ask Michael Dorn to kill you, you can't take it back. He's going to come kill you. If you say it three times
a day,
that's the thing, dude. All you have to do is say three times in a mirror, Michael Dorn, please come kill me. And at some point, he will come and find you and murder
you. Kids, we're not fucking joking right now. I just want to mention that for our younger listeners. Do not try that at home.
No, because you heard about Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing.
Stop laughing. This is serious. We don't want kids to get killed by Michael Dorn.
I'm trying to do a service here by telling you there is a Michael Dorn tape with centipedes and fucking weird girls and wells and all other kinds of shit that if you watch it, he's coming for you.
To be fair, you do have to look in the mirror and say, we want Worf three times.
Do not. No. Like, we had fun tonight.
Yeah,
but
we did.
Deadly serious right now. Please do not do that at home.
Honestly, do that into America, because then your TV turns on, and there's that shot of the well, and Worf crawls out, sash and all, and comes through your TV and murders you.
Yeah, but it sounds funny. It sounds funny right now.
Yeah, I mean, because this is a comedy show. Honestly, where we had, you know what? We had a lot of fun here tonight. Mm.
This decimated Japan for many years. That's the only way they knew what Star Trek The Next Generation was for a while. So please
like
do
Slender
not.
Man.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. But do not try that at home.
No, definitely. Thank you, Eric. Thank you.
It's good notes.
You know, after talking about this movie, I kind of want to like go back and live in this world again. So I think I may actually have to watch Samurai Cop 2.
Ooh, It's not. It definitely doesn't look the same.
Of course, nothing does. Cabin. It was probably shot on cheap video 25 years later.
It looks gritty as shit from the fucking. And like, I
gritty
don't
as shit? What do you mean?
Like, it's night scenes.
Like,
they
Bad
did
Lieutenant?
All night scenes.
It's night scenes.
It's all night scenes.
Oh my God, it would be great to do like an alternate cut, the night scenes of Samurai Cop. Like,
like concurrently, just make it take place during the same movie.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened at night? Samurai Cop Nights.
Yeah.
Samurai Cop Nights.
It's called like Deadly Invasion or some shit like
Deadly
that.
Revenge, I think.
Yeah,
it's called.
Oh, there we go.
Well, I'm just glad that they, you know, Frank Washington's back.
He is.
Yeah.
As is Peggy. Peggy's back.
Wow. Oh, nice.
Several people lived. I did look up the captain, by the way. He died in 2005.
Ah, no. Damn it. So that's it. We said we all recommend it, right? There's no ifs and buts about it, by the way.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Oh, right. Kevin, of course.
We had a lot of fun. If you liked this episode and somehow found it, if you got access to Kevin's phone, thank Kevin on the internet.
Yeah, that's the only way you would have heard this. I don't know how that would have happened, but...
Kevin, I'm so sorry your phone was stolen.
Yeah, you might be hacked. I would check your passwords really quick.
That is Samurai Cop, directed by Amir Shervan. If you want more WHM, check out WHMpodcast.com or find us over at the HeadGum Network. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at WHM Podcast, of course. Rate and review wherever you get us, and write into the mailbag, you guys. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. We're currently collecting Halloween stories for the October mailbag, figure that shit out. I'm sure there's a bunch of wild tales out there. Has anyone ever gone as Samurai Cop for Halloween?
Because
that's a Halloween wig.
What that is a Halloween wig, but
have
no.
you ever been made fun of for your shitty Halloween costume?
Oh, that's
I want to hear about
great
that.
Topic.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, you go and like maybe you're like a Chris Cabin type and you do a really shitty obscure movie character and
you just kind easiest. Of
wear you wear clothes from home and you everyone spends all night like, hey, what are you wearing? And you're like, oh, I'm Philip Seymour Hoffman from Charlie Wilson's War.
No, you know what? That was bad. But the all time worst Chris Cabin Halloween costume was the years he went. You're not here. The year you
yes,
went.
Thank you.
You went as.
Talk to me like I'm here, please.
You're dead to me. The year, you'll recall this, everybody in the room, the year Chris went as himself from the future.
Wait, no, I don't remember this.
This was our senior year of college, and Chris just put on glasses and a sweater, and it was you in the future.
Yeah, I just like, fuck it. I'm not a Halloween person. I'm not.
You're not?
I've never been.
Halloween's nice.
It's fine. I just don't care.
It's coming up. The Spooktacular starts next week.
With what movie?
Oh, my God. Christ. It's Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, which is not the last Nightmare movie, but it is Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
It is, and we'll say up front that this year's like Halloween-y bonus episode will be us rating the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, the worst of the big three franchises.
It's going to be rough. There's a lot of
rough road.
Even. There's like two good ones, and the rest are even.
And you know what the roughest, one of the roughest roads of all? Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. So until next week, where we're talking Roseanne and Tom Arnold cameos, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Sisko.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.